For many of us, we feel like we're continuing to live on Friday. The change in the world since COVID-19 has caused many of us to live in fear and depression, and some even without hope. But today I'm here to tell you that Sunday is not just coming, but Sunday is here. And because of that, because of Resurrection Sunday, we have hope. And today I want us to look at the fact that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, that there are three realities given into this passage that gives us hope for today. The first I want you to look at is that God still moves stones. We see that the women are coming early in the morning to pay their respects to Jesus' body as they're bringing spices. And this was a way to preserve the body from decaying. And so we see that they're heading to the tomb and it's dark and they're sad. You have to remember that they had this love for Jesus that was deep and intense. And here they're coming to a place of death, to a tomb. And here they are. And one of the questions that we see in another passage of the account of the resurrection is that they're wondering, how is this giant stone going to be rolled back? And they were hoping maybe that the Roman guard was there. And as they approach, we see in verse 2 that it reads, "But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb." And here was an obstacle that they didn't know how it was going to be done, but they went in faith and God moved and rolled the stone back. And the good news today is that the same God who rolled away that stone is still moving stones. You may be here today and you sense that your marriage is dead, but I want to give you good news. God is still rolling stones. You may be here today and you're facing a financial crisis because of this virus, but I want you to know that God is still moving stones. You may be here and you've been trying to change over and over and over again. You're dealing with the same issue in your life. I want you to know that God is still moving stones, and that when we come to the tomb and we have this despair and disappointment, God comes and he replaces it with success and satisfaction and hope. You know, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not an evil, to give you a future and a hope." There's going to be obstacles, but God is there with us to be able to bring us to this hope that he desires. You think about Moses. He went and was able to see God miraculously move and deliver Israel from Egypt, but he still had to go through the wilderness and face the obstacles. But every time God was there with him. We think about Joshua when he got to Jericho and there were the walls, but God was there to remove the obstacles. We think about David and he had to face the giant, but God was there to remove the obstacle. We think about Daniel in the lion's den. God was there to remove the obstacle. And in our life today, when the stone is there, God is still able to roll the stone away. You know, God is able to come in these hard times and bring about good things. We see that in the life of Joseph. And we see that promise given in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Just as Joseph had a difficult time and was sold by his brothers into slavery, was thrown into a prison, we see that God used that for good. And when we face these difficult times, let us remember that our God is still moving stones. And today, if you're here, and there's an obstacle that you're facing, I want you to still act in faith and believe that our God is still at work. The second thing I want you to see today is that Jesus is alive. Sunday is here and Jesus is alive. The Lord is risen and the Lord is risen indeed. Now I know we've heard this story perhaps many times, and because of that, it sort of loses its effect. But imagine that you're those ladies. You're heading to the tomb. You're crying. It's still a little dark outside. You're scared. You've lost your best friend. There's an emptiness. There's a loneliness. There's a fear that has overcome you. And suddenly you get there and you see that stone rolled away. And then all of a sudden there are these two angelic beings and they come and they begin to declare this great news. We read in verse 5, they come and they said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." And all of a sudden, this death and this gloom changes because you know that Jesus is alive. And because he is alive, sin and death has been conquered. And now there is eternal life. And that's what Jesus came to deal with. Jesus, we see at the resurrection, still moves stones and takes care of the temporary obstacles. But why Jesus came was to take care of the permanent obstacle that we all face, and that is sin and death. I want you to first look at this issue of sin. Notice that the angels say in verse 7 that he must have been delivered into the hands of sinful man to be crucified. There was a reason that Jesus had to die, and that was because of sin. And we understand that our sin separates us from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And so each of us have gone our own way, and because of that, we all have the consequences of the sin. And the Bible makes it clear in Romans 6:23 what those consequences are. "For the wages of sin is death." And because we have each sinned, we're going to face death. We now have spiritual death. We're separated from God. But if we die physically while we're dead spiritually, we'll be separated forever from God. And this is the good news, that Jesus is the only way that we can have eternal life. And Jesus rises from the dead. And it says, "And the third day, the angel proclaims that he will rise again." And he rose again to show us that he not only died for our sins and paid the penalty in full, the wages of sin was death, and he died for that. But 3 days later, he rose again from the dead so that we know that we have eternal life. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God loves you so much that he sent his son to die and rise again. And if you'll place your trust in him, you can have this everlasting life. And the Bible makes clear by Jesus' own words in John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And it is because of Jesus dying on the cross and rising from the dead that we have the hope today that if we place our faith in him, that we too will have eternal life, and we can be assured because he has victory over death, we will too. And that leads us to the third point. We must receive this life by faith. You see, just because Jesus rose from the dead doesn't mean you have eternal life. You have to make a decision to put your trust and receive this gift. And the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And this should give us the reason to celebrate, that if we have received Jesus Christ, we know that we have eternal life, that we don't need to fear death, but we know that he is preparing a place for us, and we will be with him for all eternity in a place called heaven where there is no more sin, and no more death, and no more sickness, and no more pain. There was a couple named Alfred and Jerry Esposito who lived in Mastic Beach, New York, and they got the terrible news one day that their son, Freddie, was killed in a tractor-trailer collision in Pennsylvania Highway. It was understandable because when the authorities took the license off the body, it was Freddie's driver's license that was with the man. They called their other son, Chris, and Freddie was actually staying at Chris's home. And when Chris got the news, he went to his house as quick as he could, and he went down there and saw that his brother was on the couch. He goes downstairs and pushes him and pokes at him, and he screams, "You're dead, you're dead." And Freddie goes, "No, I'm just sleeping." And the reality is that for the Christian, we don't die. We may go to sleep, but we will wake up in the presence of God and we will be with Him forever. 1 Corinthians 15:4 declares, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And today, I want you to know there is a guarantee that there is victory over death. Jesus is alive, and you can have that assurance. You see, maybe you're here today and you usually don't attend Easter services, but this virus has caused you to come and to search and to look in the empty tomb. And perhaps today God surprised you by revealing to you that Jesus really did die for your sins, and 3 days later He rose again. And He comes and He says, "Listen, I took your penalty and I died for you and I rose again to give you life. And today I want you to receive this gift. I want you to follow me." And if you will make that decision today to turn and confess your sins and turn from them and say, "God, I don't want to follow my way anymore. I know where it leads. It leads to death. But God, I'm ready to trust and believe that Jesus died for me and rose again, and I'm ready to follow you." I want you to know that if you truly mean that, that today you will be born again and that you will receive eternal life. The third thing I want us to look at is, not only does God move stones and not only is Jesus is alive, but I want you to see that you can be changed. Sunday is here, and what we see is there is transformation. Not only is there this eternal life that is given, that we have the assurance of heaven, but I want you to see that there's this relationship that we have with God that begins to transform us and change us. We see a comparison here between the garden where the resurrection takes place and the early garden of Eden where man fell and sinned. We see that there were two gardens. In the first garden, the Garden of Eden, we see this place where there was this intimate fellowship between God and man and woman. And then man and woman chose to sin, and now they were banished away from God's presence. That was the first garden. But in the second garden, we see that here was Jesus, and He died and He took the penalty of sin. And 3 days later, He rose again from the dead. And now at this garden, paradise is reopened and the true Eden is opened up for us to be able to have a relationship with God. There's also two sets of angels. If you look in the first account of the Garden of Eden, you will see that there is the angels there, and they are there to guard so that the man cannot enter back into paradise. And the angels are there to make sure that they are banished and never return. But here, after Jesus has died and paid for the penalty of sin and rose again, these angels here are with the good news saying, "Listen, Christ has risen and you can now have your relationship back with God." We also see that there are two Adams in this story. The first Adam in the Garden of Eden sinned. And because of that, we all have a sinful nature. We have all sinned. We all disobey God. And the reality is that because of that sin, there's death. And we see that it's 100%. We're all going to die. But the Bible says even more so, we can be convinced because of Jesus being the new Adam, that those who believe Him, we can have more confidence that we will be alive forever with God. And then we also see the two women. The first woman was Eve. She had an encounter with Satan and she was deceived. And because of that, she took of the fruit and now sin came into the world. And now we see this great transformation as we see Mary Magdalene, one who was a prostitute, One who disobeyed God, but because she was there and she believed that Jesus died for her and rose again from the dead, and she witnessed the resurrected Christ, now she goes and now she is the first witness to go and declare, He is alive. And it's amazing that not only is it her, but here's these other women, and we see this transformation take place where women were not even trustworthy to testify in court because they were looked down upon. They were almost seen as property. Jesus comes and he transforms that, and he uses this woman to be the first reliable witness to declare that he is the resurrected Savior. Because of Easter, we see transformation, and we also see that here in the account of Peter. Peter hears and he reveals that he truly has doubts. And so he gets up and he runs to that tomb as fast as he can. And he goes and he looks inside. You know, the reality was the last time Peter saw Jesus, Jesus told him, you were going to deny me three times. And that's exactly what Peter did. And there was Peter, and he had the brokenness and the shame of denying Jesus. But Peter still went and he looked at that empty tomb, and what he saw was a resurrected Savior. And because he went, even though he wasn't sure, even though he had doubts, he still went. And when he looked, he by faith saw that Jesus had rose again from the dead. And then Jesus comes later and actually reveals himself to Peter. And because of that, his life was changed. Peter was transformed from this one who denied Christ to being the one who was used to preach the first sermon at Pentecost, and 3,000 people got saved. And then Peter was used to be the foundation of the leadership to start the church, the movement of God that is still working and alive today. And this is what we need to remember, that Jesus is still changing lives because of the resurrection. He's changing Peter's life. He changed Mary Magdalene's life. And he'll change your life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And we've all been at that place where we have had regrets and failures and disappointments. But I want you to know Sunday is here and Jesus is still in the transformation business. And if you will just come and say, Jesus, do that work in me, he will do it and he will change you. That's the evidence of salvation, is that you are being changed. And if you will come and give your heart and life to Jesus, he will make you new and he will use you to be able to grow the kingdom of God. And let me tell you, there's nothing greater than being used to make an eternal difference and an eternal impact for God's kingdom. When you're in the hands of God and you're able to share the gospel, the good news, the hope, that Jesus died and he rose again, and that if you will believe, you can have eternal life, and God uses you to reach others, there's no greater joy to have God use you for an eternal purpose. A few years ago, when we were starting our church plant, we had a group from my home church in Raleigh, North Carolina, known as Bayleaf Baptist Church, and the youth came to help us out and to be able to help get our youth group started with our church plant. And we had had a Sunday night service, and it was really a great time. We saw God move in a great way. And so we went out to a restaurant, to Roadhouse Grill, and went for dinner. And when we were there, there was one of the boys in the youth group that went into the bathroom, and he leaned up against the counter when he was washing hands, and they had put bleach on the counter. And so when he stepped back, his shirt was ruined. And he came back and he told the youth pastor. And so the youth pastor called the manager to come and talk to him. And you can imagine, if you're a manager, what this is like. Usually when you're called to talk, it's bad news. And this manager could sense that. And it was like coming to the tomb. It was to hear more bad news and to hear disappointment and to be more despair. And the youth leader began to talk to him. And as he began to share with him the issue, this man, he just sensed, began, it just had a terrible day. And as he began to talk to him and listen about all the complaints and gripes that he had had that day, the youth leader began to minister to him and shared with him that they were a youth group that had come from North Carolina to be able to help start a youth group here in Bakersfield, California. And they were sharing the good news. And at that time, he shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. That even though we have all sinned, that Jesus died and he paid that penalty. And 3 days later, he really rose again from the dead. And because of that, he can change us. And this man began to get tears in his eyes. And he said, "That's what I need." And that night, the manager of Roadhouse Grill prayed to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And you know what's exciting about that is here we get a picture of one who thought he was coming to a place of despair, the tomb. And what he found is that Sunday is here. And I want you to know that Sunday is here. Maybe you're facing a difficult challenge right now. But I want you to act in faith and know that God is still moving stones. Sunday is here. Maybe you fear death, but I want you to know that Jesus is alive. And if you will confess and repent of your sins and call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him, you will be saved. And Sunday is here. And if you feel useless, I want you to know that God is still in the transformation business. Come look at the empty tomb and see that sin and death has been defeated, and allow him to use you to be a witness of this resurrection of life that we have in Christ. There's no greater calling than to declare the risen Lord. And many people are hurting. Many people are suffering right now. They're stuck in Friday. And we get to tell them not that Sunday is coming, but that Sunday is here. Let's pray. Father, we just want to come this morning and ask, Lord, that you would help us to reflect upon the fact that you died and you rose again and that Sunday is here. And Lord, we celebrate that there is good news. Lord, that there is hope today, even in these dark days. Lord, that you have risen. And because of that, there is life. And Lord, I pray for the person listening right now who came maybe skeptically, but Lord, they truly understand now that they are a sinner, that they have disobeyed. They see that sin. They know that there is the judgment of death, but they understand, Jesus, that you love them so much that you died in their place. And 3 days later, you really did rise from the dead. And you come here with this offer and say, listen, you cannot earn this. You cannot pay for it. But if you will simply believe today, you can receive this gift of eternal life. And I pray that right now there would be people who would say this prayer with me. Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner and I have done things to disobey you, and I'm sorry for that sin. And Lord, my desire is to turn from that and to begin to follow you. And Jesus, I believe that you died for me and you paid my sin in full. And 3 days later, you rose again from the dead. And I believe that you rose again and are alive. And I ask you to come into my life and transform me. And I believe that you will do it. And I'm ready to follow you from this day forward. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for those who have made that prayer. And Lord, I pray for the Christian as well. Lord, that today they would come and act in faith and believe that you will move the stones that they're facing in their life. And Lord, that if there's people here that need transformation to move from not being used to being your witness, that today you will remind them that all their sins have been forgiven and that you have given them a resurrection power. And that today we will proclaim that Sunday is here for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.